This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In a shocking move, Brazil's Senate on Thursday morning voted to suspend President Dilma Rousseff and replace her with Vice President Michel Temer. The move is the start of a six-month impeachment process led by opposition members who are claiming Rousseff is guilty of corruption. Ironically, most of the leaders have themselves been accused of corruption, while Rousseff herself has not been criminally charged. Rousseff, who is Brazil's first female president, is calling the move a coup. It's Latin America's largest country and one of the world's largest democracies. And joining me now to discuss what has happened is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a professor in International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. She had actually joined us a few weeks ago to discuss this situation as it was unfolding. Welcome back to the program, Maria Luisa.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us. So they actually went through with this in a vote of, I understand, only 22 to 55 senators voted to suspend Dilma Rousseff's presidency. Now, does this mean that impeachment has happened or it's actually just starting to happen? Does this mean her presidency is over?
Well, that was not what we're supposed to imagine happening, but it seems that the formal procedures and the reason for the impeachment don't really matter at this point. So what we see is that there is a conspiracy to actually for parties, political parties that were not able to win elections in the last decades to take power. So just to give you an example, now the president, Michel Temer, is already announcing a new cabinet, which means that it would be very difficult for President Dilma to prepare a defense, to be able to defend herself. So what we see is a process that was already decided before any discussion in the lower house or in the Senate. We saw a very dramatic situation in the lower house, a surreal situation in which most Congress members supporting the impeachment were doing that in the name of God, in the name of their families. One of them even praised a person who is well known for torture during the dictatorship, a commander in the army forces in Brazil. And now in the Senate, we already knew the result before the vote. So it's very clear that the democratic process is being taken from the Brazilian society, and the right to vote, almost 55 million people who voted for President Dilma Rousseff now, right now, are being stripped from the right to vote.
Now, one of the people leading this effort against Dilma Rousseff, Eduardo Cunha, was himself accused, and I understand charged, with corruption relating to Petrobras. Basically the same, broadly speaking, not necessarily in the details, but the generalized kind of corruption accusations against her are what these people leading the opposition themselves are accused of.
The accusation against her, the former accusation, is that she used a financial mechanism to cover social programs in the budget, in the federal budget, borrowing money from public banks, which is a mechanism that is very common in Brazil. If the same criteria were used right now, at least 16 state governors would be impeached for the same practice. Also, previous administrations have done the same thing, from Cardoso to Lula. So she was basically using a mechanism in the federal budget to cover social programs that most administrations in Brazil have used at the federal level and at the state and the local level. So her name never appeared in any of the investigations of corruption. On the other hand, the former Speaker of the House, Eduardo Cunha, is charged with serious corruption accusations that actually were confirmed by public prosecutors in Switzerland, that he has offshore bank accounts in Switzerland. So that is already being proved against him. And at the same time, over half of Congress members in the lower house and in the Senate are now facing corruption charges, which is not the case of President Dilma.
I also understand that the interim, the Speaker of the House at one point recently decided that these impeachment proceedings were not being done with the proper technical formalities, and that he tried to stop it but then had to backtrack. So there's just been a lot of back and forth tussling legally and politically, right?
Exactly, yeah. Once the former Speaker of the House, Eduardo Cunha, had to step down because the Supreme Court confirmed the accusations against him, his successor said that the vote in the lower house had serious illegalities, didn't follow the legal procedure, and actually canceled that vote, meaning that the Senate could not go ahead with the vote. The same day, the speaker in the Senate totally ignored the decision, declared that he would just ignore the decision and move ahead with the procedure in the Senate, and then the Speaker of the House changed his mind the same day and decided to move ahead with the process as well. So there are several illegalities in this whole process, including the fact that Temer now is appointing a new cabinet when President Dilma supposedly has at least 180 days to prepare her defense.
So really, the opposition is kind of digging their heels and establishing themselves making it seem as though this is a done deal, when in fact any impeachment proceeding, if it was a legitimate one, would actually have to follow certain rules, right? That she would have 6 months to be able to defend herself?
Yeah. In a presidential system, political system, you cannot impeach a president just because her popularity is low, or because some people don't like her, or because it is an economic crisis. We are not in a parliamentary system. So the only legitimate procedure right now was the vote that elected President Dilma. She received almost 55 million votes. And that is what is at stake right now. So what is at stake is that we will have people who, for decades, political parties that have not been able to win elections, presidential elections, taking over the government, using the idea of impeachment as if it was a de facto situation. So the whole process is just a big theater. Nobody believes that this is actually a legitimate legal procedure.
How are Brazilians watching all of this play out? I mean, it just must be this bizarre political theater to watch politicians who can't get elected, who are clearly corrupt because they've actually had real charges of corruption against them, leading the charge to oust a democratically elected leader and claiming that she's the one who's corrupt. I mean, you can't get, you know, the Orwellian term doublespeak is just kind of what comes to mind here.
Exactly. And of course, mainstream media in Brazil have a great deal of responsibility. So there is no diversity in public opinion in most mainstream media outlets in Brazil. The main TV stations call the demonstrations against the government. They have been doing this for over a year now. They called them demonstrations, they broadcast live all day. Imagine if in the United States all TV networks started to call demonstrations against the government and broadcasting those demonstrations live all day. So this is what happened. And at the same time, the large demonstrations in support of the government have been mostly ignored by the mainstream media. So I think that what we see is a huge conspiracy situation from the part of large media conglomerates and right-wing parties to have a change in government and make it appear as if it was an impeachment process. But we need to call this a coup. This is how we need to characterize this situation.
What about the Western media and the U.S. media? I'm looking at, say, the New York Times coverage, and what the Western media seems to be saying is that, oh, look, here are some corrupt politicians trying to oust other corrupt politicians. They seem to be throwing everyone in the same box, the same category as the Dilma Rousseff and Lula and the Workers' Party. Politicians are, you know, just as corrupt as the opposition, and, you know, it's just a terrible situation all around. You know, they don't seem to be trying to distinguish between a politician against whom no charges have been applied and those against whom charges have been applied.
Yeah, that's the most bizarre situation, because the reason for the impeachment is rarely mentioned, right, anywhere. So it was not mentioned during the vote in the lower house and in the Senate. Only people who were against the impeachment were trying to remind society that, look, the reason they are using to impeach the president is a practice that is very common and is now common at least in 16 state governments in Brazil. So suddenly the media, society, most people forget about the reason for the impeachment, which has no legal basis. And this is a danger, because if we accept that any president can be ousted just because of low popularity or whatever specific context at a certain moment in his or her term, then we are undermining the whole democratic process.
So at this point, what is Dilma's fate? I mean, essentially, if they are not even acknowledging what it is she is being impeached for, how is this impeachment process going to proceed? Are they going to try to carry on this charade, if you will? Because, you know, in a way, they're couching the coup in terms of a legal process. How far are they willing to take this legal process? At some point, if they keep carrying on like it is a legal process, won't it crumble?
Well, we hope so. We hope that there is enough mobilizations in Brazil. And what we need to worry about now is the level of repression that is already being prepared. During the vote yesterday, already there was huge police security around the Senate House, and the protesters were not even able to get close to the Senate to protest against the impeachment. So I think what we are going to see is a very high level of repression against anybody trying to protest the situation. And we need to organize internationally. It's very important that the international community be aware of what's happening in Brazil. This is a very dangerous precedent for all Latin American countries. We're going to enter a situation of more economic instability in Brazil, more inequality. The new, supposedly, the new president, the new government, we don't consider a legitimate government, is already announcing cuts in social programs, in healthcare.
And they have not been elected. No one's elected this government. Have they, before, you know, they're getting their cabinet together and they're announcing cuts. Are they announcing new elections?
Well, there are some discussions about that, but for now, most media outlets in Brazil are already saying that this is a de facto government. They are treating Michel Temer as if he is the president. So I think they're gonna just consolidate a new cabinet, consolidate new legislation, a new type of economic policy and try to get support, international support from other countries. So it's very important that internationally there is opposition to what's going on in Brazil, and that there is a clear message that this is a coup, this is not a legitimate government.
So then, speaking of any international support, what do you think is going to happen with the United States? Has the U.S. so far said anything? I mean, normally when such things happen, when there are massive political shakeups in other countries, the United States, at least the State Department, will release some kind of statement. Depending upon how serious it is, President Obama might make a statement, or John Kerry might. Has there been any response yet from the United States? And does the U.S. have any leverage, assuming it's interested in supporting democracy in Brazil?
Yeah, the United States has not expressed a clear message so far. It has said that it supports the democratic process in Brazil and it trusts the democratic institutions in Brazil. We hope that the international community, the U.S. government, will follow, for instance, the position of the OAS, the Organization of American States, that expressed a very clear statement against the coup in Brazil. So I think that the message from the United States government and from civil society in the United States needs to be very clear against the coup, because it's very similar to what happened in Honduras, what happened in Paraguay. So we cannot accept this type of parliamentary coups anymore. We need to stop this process from being a de facto situation.
And the situation in Honduras, we ended up finding out, had U.S. fingerprints all over it. I suppose right now we don't have that much evidence. I know that there were some meetings between some members of the U.S. Congress and members of the opposition, or at least one meeting. But other than that, do you have any indication that the U.S. has an interest in seeing this undemocratic coup take place in Brazil, or is it something we might have to wait to find out?
I think there has to be pressure from organizations, from civil society here in the U.S. So I think the U.S. society organizations in the United States have a responsibility to pressure the Obama administration at this point. Of course, that U.S. oil companies have a great deal of interest in Brazil, and a main issue now is privatizing the new oil reserves that were found recently, huge oil reserves in Brazil. So there is a lot at stake, and the U.S. society needs to be in solidarity with Brazil.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Maria Luisa, for joining us today. We will certainly continue to monitor this story as it unfolds. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Maria Luisa Mendonça is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.